John chapter 12 this morning. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that I have two kinds of freedom. I'm glad I'm free in America, and I'm glad I'm free in Christ. Amen. I used to have a radio program down at Church Hill, and I opened it up with, I think it was the Dottie Rambo singers, with the song, "Thank God I Am Free, Free, Free from This World of Sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way." Amen. Amen. One of these days I'm going to figure out how to spell hallelujah. Amen. That's always been a hard word for me to spell. Not a hard word to say, but a hard word to spell. All right, John chapter 12 this morning. I want to get into the message. Let's look here. I'll just read a verse or two of Scripture for the sake of time, and then we'll read some more verses as we go through the message. Let's stand this morning in reverence to God's Word, if you would. The Bible said in verse 32, Jesus is talking. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This, He said, signifying what death He should die. You can be seated. Please pray with me. Father, thank You this morning for each one that's come. Lord, before the foundation of the world, You knew who would be here today. You knew what would be needed in this service today. And God, right as we go through the book of John, You have us right in the right place, right at the right time. Lord, You're an amazing Savior. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. I pray You'd speak to our hearts. I pray it wouldn't be just a weekend of hot dogs and hamburgers, but it would be a weekend of grateful hearts, a weekend of remembering our Lord, the price that was paid, that we could have what we have in America. Lord, I pray that some of the bickering and fighting, Lord, and among the politicians would stop, that men and women would humble their hearts and pray and seek Your face and turn from their wicked ways. God, that You might forgive our sin, that You might heal our land. Help us, our Lord, in these days, and we'll give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to get right into the message today and show you four things that God spoke to my heart about here. And I guess I would call the message today in the series in John, Memorial Day, the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. I want to show you four things that God spoke to my heart about, and we'll just try to be sensitive to the Lord as to what He wants us to magnify this morning. The Bible, if you'll look up here with me in verse number 27, the Bible said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." The first thing I noticed in the text today is the dreaded cup. Jesus was about to drink of a cup. And as far as Him humanly speaking, He dreaded it. He wasn't looking forward to it. The Bible talks about it in another place. I'm not going to read all the Scripture, but it was very sorrowful. The Bible said He was in such agony that His sweat became as great drops of blood. The Bible said as He bowed and He prayed, He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but Thy will be done." It was a cup of betrayal. Judas would betray Him with a kiss. It was a cup of bitterness. The Word of God said He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And it was a cup of brokenness. His body was about to be broken. But beloved, more than that, His fellowship with the Father. Oh, beloved, He's going to cry from the cross of Calvary, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" I tell you, it was a dreaded cup that Jesus was facing. And the Bible said here, "Now is my soul troubled." Can I say this? I believe we could have revival in America, but I believe somebody's going to have to get troubled first. Say amen. I believe, listen, judgment must first begin at the house of God. I believe that there needs to be some of God's people get under a burden where we can't eat. Not that we just choose not to eat, but such a burden. Listen to me, beloved, if it's your baby or one of your loved ones, you can get to a place where you're so burdened, you're not hungry. Amen. We need that. Amen. We need that burden for our country. Beloved, listen to me. We're just days away from going down the wrong path if we don't watch what we're doing. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it was a dreaded cup. Jesus dreaded what was about to take place. And beloved, he went on anyway. The second thing I want you to understand is there is a determined cost. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said here, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. Salvation has a price tag. Salvation is free to you and I. But salvation comes with a high price. You say, preacher, what do you mean a determined cost? Brother Steve, before Adam and Eve ever messed up in the Garden of Eden, God knew they would. And God had already determined that a lamb would be slain. Before the world was ever spoken into existence, God knew that his son, his only begotten son, would be going to Calvary to give his life that you and I might have life and have it everlasting. The Bible talks about here him being lifted up. There's something that come to my mind as I studied this, and that is in my life, the soul-winning endeavors, trying to convince a sinner that they need Christ. I've seen God, Brother Sam, many times break through in that conversation. If you just take your time and explain the suffering that Jesus went through. I mean, you can just say Christ died for our sin, and that's what the Bible said. But beloved, if you'll break it down a little bit and you'll talk about it a little bit, I've seen many times that people begin to look at that and they think, you know what? He really does love me. Anybody that'd be willing to go through that for me really does love me. I really am the one that deserved to hang on that cross. He really did take my place. Look at him hanging there for me. And it becomes personal. And that person can trust Christ. I believe that's what one of the things Jesus is talking about. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Beloved friend, this morning, it describes the scourging. It describes the crucifixion. And that's what Jesus is saying. If I'm crucified, I'm going to be in the business of drawing men unto myself. I got to doing a little research. And this morning, if you'll bear with me for a few minutes, I want to read something that I looked up. And it's by a doctor. And it describes the crucifixion and the scourging. Dr. C. Truman Davis, I do want to say this. I did edit it for length and I edited it for content at different times. Listen, no two men are ever going to agree about everything. But listen, I'll just give you one little thing here. He talked about Jesus whispering, "It is finished." Honey, I got a Bible. My Bible said with a loud voice. Now listen, you think I'm going to get in the pulpit and read something that goes against my Bible? You're crazy, amen? Jesus cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. But this doctor has helped me, and I pray that it will help you as he begins to describe the suffering of the Lord Jesus. Brother Brian, there was medical terms in there that you would have understood, but most of our congregation wouldn't have understood. So I tried to use layman's terms in different places as I went through this. But I want you in your mind. Listen, I want you to block everything else out. You're going to eat with your family after a while or have a picnic tomorrow. That's all wonderful. But block it out for just 5 minutes, would you? And let me take you to Calvary. And let me show you what the Lord is going through for you and for me. After the arrest in the middle of the night, Jesus was brought before Caiaphas, the high priest. It is here that the physical trauma was inflicted. A soldier struck Jesus across the face for remaining silent when he was questioned by Caiaphas. The palace guards then blindfolded him and mockingly taunted him to identify them as they each passed by and spat upon him and struck him in the face. Let me ask you this. How many of you have a son? Would you raise your hand if you have a son? Put your son in this place for just a moment. Amen. And imagine, beloved, that what I'm reading to you is happening to your son. And you'll be able to understand why the Bible said God is angry with those, beloved, that turn their backs on his son and walk away and reject him after what he has done. In the early morning, battered and bruised, dehydrated, exhausted from a sleepless night, Jesus is taken to Pontius Pilate. It was then, in response to the cries of the mob, that Pilate ordered Barabbas released and condemned Jesus to scourging and crucifixion. Preparations for the scourging were carried out when the prisoner was stripped of his clothing, his hands tied to a post above his head. The Jews had an ancient law prohibiting more than 40 lashes. The Roman legionnaire steps forward with the whip in his hand. This is a short whip consisting of several heavy leather thongs with two small balls of lead attached near the ends of each. The heavy whip is brought down with full force again and again across Jesus' shoulders, across his back, and across his legs. At first, the thongs cut through the skin only. Then, as the blows continue, they cut deeper into the subcutaneous tissue, producing first an oozing of blood from the capillaries and the veins of the skin, and finally spurting arterial bleeding from the vessels in the underlying muscles. The Roman soldier sees, they see a great joke in this provincial Jew claiming to be a king. They throw a robe across his shoulders and they place a stick in his hand for a scepter. Flexible branches covered with long thorns are plaited into the shape of a crown, and this is pressed into his scalp. Again, there is more bleeding. After mocking him and striking him across the face, the soldiers take the stick from his hand and strike him across the head, driving the thorns deeper into his scalp. He's now headed for Calvary. In spite of his efforts to walk upright, the weight of the heavy wooden beam, together with the shock produced by the blood loss, he stumbles and he falls. The rough wood of the beam gouges into the lacerated skin and the muscles and the shoulders. He tries to rise, but the muscles have been pushed beyond their endurance. The centurion, anxious to get on with the crucifixion, selects Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross. Jesus follows, still bleeding and sweating the cold, clammy sweat of shock, until the 650-yard journey from the Fortress Antonia to Golgotha is finally completed. Jesus is offered wine mixed with myrrh, a mild analgesic mixture. He refuses to drink. Simon is ordered to place the cross on the ground, and Jesus, quickly thrown backward with his shoulders against the wood, the legionnaire feels for the depression at the front of the wrist. He drives a heavy square wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly, he moves to the other side and then repeats the action. The cross is then lifted up in place. At the top of it, a title reading, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The left foot is now pressed backward against the right foot, and with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees moderately flexed. The victim is now crucified as he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails in his wrist. Excruciating pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms to explode in the brain. The nails in the wrist are putting pressure on the median nerves. As he pushes himself upward to avoid this stretching torment, he places his full weight on the nail through his feet. Again, there's searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of his feet. Oh, dear God. At this point, his arms fatigue. Great waves of cramp sweep over muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward, hanging by his arms. The muscles are paralyzed. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but cannot be exhaled. Jesus fights to raise himself in order to get even one short breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmatically, he is able to push himself upward to exhale and bring in the life-giving oxygen. It was undoubtedly during these periods that he uttered the seven short sentences recorded. The first, looking down from the Roman soldiers throwing dice for his seamless garment, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The second to the penitent thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The third, looking down at the terrified, grief-stricken adolescent John, the beloved apostle, he said, "Behold thy mother." Then looking to his mother, Mary, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." The fourth cry is from the beginning of the 22nd Psalm. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus experienced hours of limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, searing pain where tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against the rough timber. Then another agony begins, a terrible crushing pain deep in the chest as the pericardium slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart. One remembers again the 22nd Psalm, the 14th verse. "I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels." It's almost over. The loss of tissue fluids has reached the critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissue. The tortured lungs are making a frantic effort to gasp in small gulps of air. The markedly dehydrated tissue send their flood of stimuli to the brain. Jesus gasps his fifth cry. He cries, "I thirst." One remembers another verse from the prophetic 22nd Psalm. "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of the death. I, a sponge soaked in sour wine, is lifted to his lips." He refuses. The body of Jesus is now in extremes, and he can feel the chill of death creeping through his tissues. This realization brings out the six words. With a loud voice, he cries, "It is finished." His mission of atonement was completed. With one last surge of strength, he once again presses his torn feet against the nail, straightens his legs, takes a deeper breath, and utters his seventh and last cry, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." The common method of ending crucifixion was by breaking the bones in the legs. This prevented the victim from pushing himself upward. Thus the tension could not be relieved from the muscles of the chest, and rapid suffocation occurred. The legs of the two thieves were broken, but when the soldiers came to Jesus, they saw that it was unnecessary. I wrote this, prophecy was fulfilled, because the word of God said, "Not a bone of him shall be broken." Amen. They didn't know it that day, but they weren't in control that day. My God was in control of what was going on that day. Apparently, to make sure of death, the legionnaire drove his spear between the ribs, upward through the pericardium and into the heart. John 19:34 says, "And immediately there came out blood and water." Listen to this. That is, there was an escape of water fluid from the sac surrounding the heart, giving postmortem evidence that our Lord died not the usual crucifixion death by suffocation, but of heart failure. Listen to me. Due to the shock and the constriction of the heart by the fluid. Oh, beloved friend, Jesus died with a broken heart. I'll give you a couple of verses of scripture and move on. Listen, everything I read, listen to what the Bible said. "Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." I'm telling you, beloved, I don't believe there's many people in America that will take the time to think about what Christ went through from the garden to Calvary so that you and I could be free. Free, free from this world of sin. Amen. Then the Bible said in Isaiah, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Isaiah 52:14 said, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men."
I say to you this morning, beloved, there was a dreaded cup. But I say to you, there was a determined cost. Beloved, it angers God when you think you're going to buy your way into heaven. It angers God when you, beloved, think there's another door into heaven. There's only one. There's only one Savior. And beloved, His name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, beloved friend, I see not only the dreaded cup, I see the determined cost, but I see the delivered children. Look in verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. I'm glad, thank God, there's a generation of people that knows what it is to step in the light and walk in the light as He is in the light. When we do, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Beloved, the Bible said if we say that we know Him and walk in darkness, we lie. That's what the Word of God said. Beloved, this Bible teaches if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're not perfect. But I tell you what, if you ever get saved, you'll want to walk with the one who is. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Delivered children. A dreaded cup. A determined cost. Delivered children. That brings me to the last thing. That's a declared choice. Let me show you what I mean. Look here in the text with me. Jesus said in verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven. You remember when Jesus was baptized? The heavens opened. There come like a dove, the Holy Ghost like a dove. And he said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. You remember up on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was Peter and James and John. That voice from heaven came again and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. God, in a nice way, was saying to Peter, Peter, shut up and listen. Amen. Listen to me. Here the voice from heaven comes again. Watch this. There came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. He said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. You say, preacher, what do you mean a choice? Whose side are you on? Are you on the side of the Prince of Peace? Or are you on the side of the prince and the power of the air? There's a choice. There's judgment. You say, preacher, why did you describe the suffering of Jesus? Because that's where my sins were judged, on that old rugged cross. Beloved friend, you can either trust Jesus and the finished work of Calvary, or you will be judged for your sin. At the great white throne judgment, you will be cast into an everlasting lake of fire which burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever. You say, preacher, why would you preach and talk about hell? I'll tell you why, because not many are, number one. Number two, it's in the Bible. Jesus died to keep us out of hell. Memorial Day. Men and women in this country died on foreign soil. Many are dying on this soil every day to keep us free. Those that don't believe we need law enforcement, let's do without law enforcement about 24 hours. I thought about Brother Steve early this morning. That preacher in that presentation that kissed his wife, kissed his five children, and never came home again. Somewhere in America this week is a police officer that'll kiss his wife and kiss his children and never come home again. because of the evil and the wickedness that's in this world that we live in. I tell you, beloved, there's a choice. Watch this now. Let me show you this about this choice. There's a choice concerning Jesus. Look in verse number 11. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. See it? There's people that believed on Jesus. Look in verse number, 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. The world's divided into two categories. It's not Republicans and Democrats. It's those that believed on him and those that have not believed on him. Beloved, listen. Be careful right here. Because for 27 years, I believed it all right here. You say, preacher, ain't that where you're supposed to believe it? No, we're supposed to believe from the heart. You say, preacher, how can you tell the difference between the head and the heart? I'll tell you how. You can believe in the head and your life never change. You can believe in the head, but you'll still carry the guilt. You'll still carry the shame. You'll still lay down at night and wonder, if I die, will heaven be my home? But if you ever one time believe from the heart, the guilt will be gone. Your life will be changed. And you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you can lay down at night and say, good night, Jesus. And realizing if you don't get up in the morning, you can still say, good morning, Jesus. Glory to God. On a much brighter shore than down here on this earth. Watch this now. Look at verse number 42 through 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Brother Steve, they got to some of them Pharisees and Sadducees. They believed on him. But watch this. This is sad. They believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. That's where some of you are this morning. You can go down to school and act like him down to school. You can go down to job and act like him down to job because you don't want to experience the ridicule. I'm going to tell you something right now. A child of God ain't got no business telling a filthy joke or listening to a filthy joke or looking at filthy literature. Somebody help me. But there are people in the world today just like these right here. They knew him, Brother Steve, but they wouldn't confess him because they was afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. Think about that. I'll tell you something right now. If I had to deny Jesus to keep this pulpit, I'm headed for the middle of Packet House Road, wide open. Help me! Amen. If I had to deny Jesus to keep some kind of a religious title, I'm out. Amen. I'm going with Jesus. He's the one that bought me. He's the one that died for me. He's the one that's going to make the difference when I leave this world. Watch verse 43. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Listen to me. Most of the time, when a preacher mentions something about time, he don't keep his word. How many of y'all done figured that out? But I've been preaching 30 minutes and I'm done. I've tried to tell you about Jesus. Whole lot of things going on in this world. Jesus is left out of it. But I tell you, if you're going to have a good Memorial Day weekend, Jesus needs to be right in the center of it. Yesterday, Brother Mike, Bob sent me a picture. Bob and Brother Mike and Sawyer, how many know Sawyer? They went fishing yesterday morning. Bob sent me a picture. Now, I don't know who the ship belonged to, but I know who the captain of the ship was.
That was Sawyer. Amen.
Let me help you. As I've tried to study and prepare. Brother Gary, what if that was my Sawyer? If that whip was coming down, Lord. What if that was my son, Jeremy? If that whip was coming down, that they're spitting on. They're blindfolding him. Pow. Prophesy. Who hit you? Crown of thorns in his head. And then take the stick and the scepter, hit him in the top of the head with it. They hated him. I pray to God, if you don't know him, you'll come to know him. Because to know him is life. It's life abundantly, and it's life eternal. And there is no eternal life outside of Jesus. I want to stop and say, what a Savior. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Brother Joe, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when he shall appear, we'll be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And the word of God said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What a blessing this Memorial Day weekend to know that men have given their lives that we could be free, but that the man, Christ Jesus, has given his life so that I could be free indeed. Hallelujah. Let's bow for prayer.